Hello everybody, it's Miss Tall 23 back in another video. Make sure the sound is working real quick. Alright, so the sound is working. In this video, I want to talk about the relationship between Christ, the Son of God, and God the Father in the Trinity. As the scripture gives us perfect examples of the humility of Christ, how he subjected himself to the Father being the Son of God while still being entirely God in the flesh. The scriptures say in Philippians 2:6-7, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took the form of a servant. So even though Christ was by nature entirely God, he was equal with God in the sense that he was fully God, just as God the Father is fully God. He submitted himself to the Father, God the Father, as a servant, even though he was just as much God as God the Father was. Now Jesus Christ, he came to earth to do that which the Father sent him to do. And we see this throughout the ministry of the Gospels. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In saying that God gave his Son, Christ is informing us that it was his Father's will to send him. So the Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The reason why the Son came into this world was because the Father was the one who sent him. So the points I'm going to be talking about in this video include the following. There's actually five things I want to talk about in particular in this video. So the first one is that Christ was sent by the Father, and he came in his Father's name. The second is that Christ sought to do the will of the Father. The third is that Christ sought to finish the work of the Father. The fourth is that Christ sought to give all glory and honor to the Father. And the fifth is that Christ came to speak all the things that the Father had told him to teach the people. Is something I've already talked about just a little bit in this video. The first one is that he was sent. So in John 5:37, it says, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. In John 5:43, it says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. So that, of course, is a prophecy of the Antichrist, where he's talking about one coming in his own name. When the Antichrist will come, the beast will establish himself in his own name. He'll not give glory to the Father. He'll come in his own name and say, you know, I am Christ, as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 about false Christ that would come and say, I am Christ. In John 6:57, it says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. John 7:29 says, but I know him, and I am from him, and he hath sent me. In John 8:29, it says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And I'll go into that a little bit later with one of the other things we're talking about in this video. So he says that the Father is with him in both of these verses. When the Father sends him, he's with the Father remains with him, even though he sent him from heaven. John 8:42 says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And then John 16:28 says, I came forth from the Father, and I come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So he came from the Father, and after his ascension to the right hand of God, he went back to the Father. So the first thing we know is that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father. He came to this world because the Father commanded him to go to the world and fulfill the will of the Father. Jesus said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, in John 18. So the second thing is the Father's will, that Jesus Christ obeyed his will in every point. It says in John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. In John 5:30, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John 6:38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 8:29, As I read this earlier, it says, "For I do always those things that please him." And then Galatians 1:4-5, Paul is writing here, and he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, God and our Father." Jesus Christ came to fulfill the will of the Father. Everything that he did was in accordance with the will of the Father. He had a separate will from the Father, yet he subjected himself to the will of the Father only and not his own will. So everything Jesus did was in accordance with God the Father's will. He says, "Not mine will, but thine be done." And that shows that he is a separate person from the Father, has a different will. This also establishes that doctrines like modalism are completely false and unbiblical. So he subjected himself entirely to his Father, so that all that he sought to do and all that he did was to please God the Father and to obey him. And indeed he did do that, because the Bible says that he was without sin. Sin is defined as a transgression of the law. So anytime anybody disobeys God, they're sinning. So in Hebrews 4:15, it says he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And then in 1 Peter 2, it says he did no sin. And then I think it also says that in 1 John 3, that it says that in him is no sin. So Jesus Christ did not go against anything that the Father commanded at any point. He did everything that the Father told him to do and commanded him to do. So the third thing is works. He did the works of the Father that the Father sent him to do. This kind of ties in with the will as well. In John 5:20-21, it says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing." Actually, I think this is verse 19-20. Pretty sure it is. Anyway, "The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." John 5:36 says, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." In John 10:25, Jesus said, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." In John 10:32, it says, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And that's, of course, when he says, "I and my Father are one," and the Jews pick up stones to stone him. In John 14:10-11, it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." And then in John 17:4, it says, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So throughout this ministry, he says that he came to do the works of God. He's going to fulfill the works of God. And his final prayer in John 17, where he's praying to the Father, he says, "I finished the work that thou gavest me to do." So from the context of most of these, Jesus is referring to the mighty works, the miracles that he had done in his Father's name. So Christ did this to point people to the Father, not to himself, but to the Father, to show that he was sent from God and that the Father was dwelling inside of him. So all of the miracles Christ did were given to him of the Father and were done because, as it says in John 5, the Father showeth him all, Father showeth all things to the Son. So the Son wouldn't be able to do these things without the Father. Now the fourth thing is glory. So Jesus gave all glory and honor to the Father and not to himself. He did not come in his own name, as I already read in this video. So it says in John 7:18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So these verses also prove that Jesus is separate from God the Father. So this again establishes the Trinity doctrine, and that Jesus is not the Father, as some people, especially nowadays, will claim. Jesus is separate from God the Father. He is a separate person. He is seeking the glory of his Father and not the glory of himself. It says in John 8:49, "Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." John 12:28 says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified, and I will glorify it again." John 14:13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then John 17:4, Jesus said, "I've glorified thee on the earth." This is, again, the last prayer that Jesus had when he was praying to the Father in John 17. So Christ also sought the glory of the Father. He didn't give any glory or honor to himself. he sought to direct it all towards God. So only the other persons of the Trinity glorify the Son. Jesus prayed in his last prayer, glorify thy Son, that thy Son might glorify thee. So only the Father shared his glory with Christ, but Christ did not glorify himself. As even in Philippians 2, as I read earlier, when one bows down to Jesus and confesses that he is the Christ on the last day, that's giving glory to God the Father, even though they're confessing Jesus the Son. So the fifth one is doctrine and teaching. In John 6:45, it says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. John 7:16 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So, of course, that's talking about the Father. John 8:26-28 says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So everything he was saying, all this doctrine, especially in John 8, that's a chapter filled with doctrine. Jesus is saying that everything that he's been speaking thus far to the Jews, it's because of the Father. The Father is telling him to speak the things that he's speaking, all this doctrine. It's not his own doctrine, it's the doctrine of the Father. So John chapter 12, verse 49-50 says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 14:24 says, he that loveth me keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. John 15:15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So lastly, this last thing is that all that Jesus taught was taught to him by the Father. The words that Jesus spake, they were directly commanded to him by the Father, so that all of his doctrines, all of his teachings came from God the Father. So therefore, we can, with this picture of who Jesus Christ is in the Bible, label him as the perfect messenger, the perfect servant, perfect laborer, perfect son, and perfect teacher. Now, Christ is described as an example that you should follow in his steps in 1 Peter chapter 2. He didn't complain about going out and bearing witness to the truth. He did it with all confidence. He spake with authority. He proclaimed the message that the Father had sent him to do. He did what God wanted him to do. Christ did all this for the glory of God, whether it was a miracle or a sermon. He served the Lord without wavering and without sin. So this is why he's our perfect example. Even though he's God in the flesh, he humbled himself. He took the form of a servant so that he could serve God the Father and do these things and be our example to how we are to serve God. So we can learn from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Gospels to follow after his footsteps. So that's it for this video. I thank you, buddy, for watching, and goodbye. God bless you.